BSBC Kid Ministry. They're going to come up here and they're going to worship this morning with you guys. Is that okay? So you guys are going to sing out super loud, right? That's right. You're smile and we're going to have fun this morning worshiping our Savior. Amen. All right, here we go. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a big round of applause this morning. Celebrate with them. You guys can make your way down now. Go ahead and go down. As our singers come back up this morning, if you would stand as we get ready to continue worshiping this morning. I'm so thankful for these young people and their willingness to come up here and sing and worship. It takes a lot of courage, and they've worked very hard, so encourage them and give them a kind word as we continue to worship this morning. Thank you guys for getting those microphones off. All right, let's lift our voices and continue praising our Savior this morning.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sleeping head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever. Take us to heaven to live with thee there.
You give life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness.
You give hope, you restore every heart.
So we
your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Church, let's throw up our voices.
Though I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
This morning.
Well, it truly is good to see each and every one of you this morning as we have our Christmas service, our Christmas Sunday service, that is. And I do hope that you all make plans to be here for the candlelight service next Wednesday night. If you would, grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 20. I reserve the scripture reading time for the sermon because I'm going to read it as I go. Yesterday morning, I did not set an alarm. I love mornings with no alarms. I don't know about you guys. I can't sleep as late as I used to, but didn't have an alarm, so I woke up on my own. I was thinking, oh man, what do we got in front of us today? A brand new day, another day of life. So I turned to my calendar, Bethany, and I asked her, what do we have for today? What are we going to do? And she's like, well, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here, we got this, we got this. And I went, I didn't realize we had all those things to do. They're good things, fun things. That's this time of year. It's one thing after the next for most every person out there. Full calendars, full houses, full plates, increasing scales. Amen. I love Christmas. I love family gatherings. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love the traditions. I always have. But there's a danger that I've experienced and I've seen that we need to talk about this morning when it comes to Christmas. It's possible to love everything about Christmas and still overlook what Christmas is actually about. Can all the movement, noise, and tradition cause us to celebrate Christmas without paying attention to what God has done? God did not fulfill His promise of a Savior so that the arrival would be background noise, something that we think about after the fact. Oh, and Jesus too. Today, as we read God's Christmas story, we're going to see that God did not overlook His promises, His people, or His Son. But we're going to be confronted with this question, will we? Our first truth today is God refused to overlook His promise to Mary and Joseph. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Everybody was on their way. It was life as usual. It was another day. They were moving on. Joseph and Mary were traveling as they were required to do by a government mandate. This would not be a great time for Mary to be traveling, but this is where they are. This is where they're headed. And while life felt disruptive, God's appointed time, His perfect time, had arrived. I want us to look really quickly at three promises that God made. The first one was to Mary. In Luke 1, we go back and you can see that the child conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit and would be called the Son of the Most High. That was what God promised Mary. To Joseph, that this child would be the fulfillment of God's saving plan, and that Joseph was to both obey and protect what God was doing, even when it cost him. You can see that in Matthew 1. Lastly, God made a promise to the prophets. We're going to talk about one of them. God promised that a Savior would be born in Bethlehem from the line of David, exactly as God had said hundreds of years earlier. You can see that in Micah 5:2. God made three promises. God fulfilled three promises on Christmas. We often assume that if God were really working, I know this is me, it may be speaking to me, life would feel a lot smoother. It would be a lot cleaner. It would be a lot easier. That's how I would know that God's in it. Man, things are just going perfect. I got no problems, right? That's how we know that God's right there with us. This trip to Bethlehem was not a smooth trip. Joseph did not have an easy time, but we know that God was in the middle of the whole thing. Sometimes I overlook God's work, I think, because it's wrapped in disruption and misaligned expectations. Think about how often we interpret inconvenience as interruption. Now, I know you all are good drivers. You never get angry on the road, do you? No tailgaters in here. We in church. Multiple times this week, I was trying to go places, and somebody decided that I didn't need to go places as quickly as I needed to, and they just eased right in front of me. I'm talking about put themselves right in the middle of my path, and they decided to go the speed limit or worse. Blessings are not what I'm thinking about when these people are in front of me. I'm not going, you know, God, bless them. Care for them, meet their needs during this time of year. Maybe they'll have a great Christmas. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, they don't know I got to be there. I'm in a hurry. Do y'all ever look at disruptions like that as maybe God's preventing you from a catastrophic event that could be ahead of you, or maybe the timing's not perfect? We often look at disruption as an inconvenience, as something that, you know, God's mad at us. That's why he put this driver in front of me. Our instinct is to say, this can't be God, it's too messy. But Luke reminds us that the first Christmas was anything but neat. No quiet delivery room with nurses standing by waiting to receive the child. No prepared space, a nice suite for the newborn king, heated and ready for him. No sense of control. What is going on? Where are we? And yet God was doing exactly what he promised in amongst all the chaos. Don't miss that God lends his strength to us while we're trying to be faithful, while we're on our way following his will the best that we can. Don't miss that God is not absent just because life feels chaotic. If we only look for God in comfort and clarity, we may be overlooking him when he's most active in our life. God refused to overlook his promise, and we must refuse to overlook God's work when it doesn't arrive the way we expect it to, even in disruption, even in inconvenience, and even when there's no room. God is still keeping his word. If God didn't overlook his promises, he also didn't overlook the people that would first hear of his work. Our second truth is God refused to overlook the shepherds. Let's read 8 through 16 together. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. While most of the world was sleeping, the shepherds were at work. They weren't in palaces. They weren't in temples. They were out in the field doing an ordinary blue-collar job. And there, away from the crowds, God speaks. As angels appear, the glory of the Lord shines. And their first response, if you notice that, I tried to inflect that. What was their first response? Oh, there's God. Check him out. I knew he was coming. They were scared to death. Can you imagine being out in total darkness? Only the light from the stars and the moon, and all of a sudden everything is, there's such a glory around you that you're blinded. That didn't happen every day. They were in total fear, and that's what we see if you read back through the Bible. Fear is associated with the presence of God, with the angels. I mean, it's reverential. It's not insignificant. They didn't fear because the message was bad. They feared because it was the very holy presence of God out there among them. You see, this is, as we talked about in Sunday school, today our topic was your favorite part of the prophecies leading up to Christmas are actually the moment of Christmas. We brought up scripture that we each loved about that. Well, this is mine. Apart from the birth of Jesus, obviously that's the best part of the passage, but the second best part of the story for me is that the shepherds were the very first ones that God announced the birth of Jesus Christ to. And you say, well, are you obsessed with shepherds? No, I'm not obsessed with shepherds. But shepherds were not impressive. Shepherds were not influential. Shepherds were not some sort of religious elite. Yet they were the first people God chose to announce the birth of his son to. God refused to overlook these regular dudes out there in the field. Many believers quietly assume that God works through other people, more spiritual people, more confident people, more put together people than us. And because of that, we overlook ourselves, we overlook our calling, we overlook our purpose from God that he's calling us to do. We don't expect God to speak to us. We don't expect God to use us. We don't expect God to involve us in something eternal, something special, some part of his plan that he's doing here on the earth. Have you ever told God that you're unqualified, not fit, you can't do it for something he's called you to? Well, I have. I'm not looking down on anybody. I'm saying I'm right there with you. It's common, I think, for humans to do that. You may have said, well, God, I don't know what to say. Or, God, I haven't been trained well enough to undertake this specific task. Or maybe you say, God, I'm a sinner. I struggle with sin. I still haven't figured out how to be perfect. So therefore, I can't be a vessel for you. Shepherds could have said the same thing. But God didn't wait for impressive people. He revealed himself to sinners that were available out there in the field. Because you see, that's where we get it wrong. Why did God send his son? Who did God send his son to? Sinners. So is it not fitting that these old outcasts, blue-collar, regular dudes, stinky, sinners out in the field wouldn't be the first one that got the announcement? Good luck. Guys, I got some good news. I sent my son for you, for people just like you. Amen. That's why I like the shepherds, because that's me, a sinner, often stinky, often out in the field, that don't deserve a Savior, but I'm thankful that God has announced to me that I got one. God doesn't reserve revelation for just the religious elite. God delights in showing his glory to ordinary people like you and me. God often reveals himself to those who are simply faithful where they're at. They were out there just watching their flock. God showed up. If you think God only works through the visible and impressive, you may overlook how close he already is to you right now. God refused to overlook the shepherds, and that means no believer is too ordinary, too unnoticed, or too insignificant for God to use this morning. When God reveals himself, the only right response is the one the shepherd gave. This is how it went. They went, they saw, they believed, and then they did one more thing. And I'm going to reserve that last thing for our last truth. Our third truth is the shepherds refused to overlook Christ. I'm going to say that again. It's important. The shepherds refused to overlook Christ. Let's read 17 through 20 together. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. The shepherds communicate the message they receive from the angels. Now it's just like they're heralds. Isn't that what we do when we get good news? You want to go tell everybody about it. The shepherds had just gotten the news that Christ the Savior, the one sent to forgive sins, was sent to them. And he's over, ironically, in a barn. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in there amongst the animals in a feeding trough, with a young girl and a man. And they're telling everybody. They're excited about it. I wish we could get a little more excited about telling people about Jesus as they did. They didn't get some speech classes while they was over there. They had an encounter with God and they just told people about it. And the hearers respond in wonder at what the shepherds had told them. Mary receives the message and treasures it in her heart. But what I love about this is the shepherds, they don't stop at wonder and they don't stop at treasure. They respond with worship the King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. They glorify and praise God for what they had heard and seen. They worship the newborn King in the form of a baby in a manger. They worship the God who refused to overlook them while they were out in a field. God came and met them where they are. That's what God still does today. He comes and meets you where you are. You don't muster up the strength to get to a place so that God can come and meet you. He meets you where you are, in your sin, in your shame, in your shortcomings, just like he did to those shepherds. Many people hear the Christmas story every year without fail. We listen to the words, or maybe we read the words. We acknowledge it. Yeah, this is the Christmas story. And we simply move on. Next. Wonder fades quickly. Reflection stays private. And worship seems to never fully ripen and come to be. Humans and animals have something in common in that we can get numb to just about anything. When I was growing up, one summer I was outside playing and I heard an explosion that I'd never heard before. I mean, it was rattling. And I knew that it was a distance off, but it was still very loud where I was. Well, then periodically this explosion would happen. Seemed like on a timer. Well, we had to do some investigation. What in the world is this explosion? Well, if any of you have a garden in the summertime, there's a nemesis to gardens called white-tailed deer. They love to come in there and treat it like a salad bar, and they go ahead and they just enjoy whatever they would like out of your garden in the summer. I'm getting some nods out there. I see some of my gardeners. Well, this gardener had gotten tired of it. And due to game laws, you can't just take your 30-06 and eliminate all the salad dwellers all the time in the summertime. So what he did was he got this device that attached to a propane tank, and it was set on a timer, and that propane would release a certain amount of gas, and then it would be ignited, and then kabloom! Well, for a while, it worked great. There was not a deer to be seen near this garden. But after a little time, guess what started happening? Bloom! And they just go back to eating. They get numb to the sound, and they know there's no danger. They just keep doing what they're doing. We too can hear the same story year after year, and it get to a place where it doesn't move our heart anymore. But the shepherds show us the appropriate response when we read and listen to the Christmas story. Worship. And ironically, if you say, well, I don't know if I want to celebrate the shepherds too much. They didn't have the full story. All they had was a little snippet at the beginning. All they had is that God sent His Son. They didn't know about all the miracles that He would go to put forth. They didn't know about the perfect life that He would live. They didn't know that one day He would willingly give Himself on a cross and hang there in agony and shed His blood for every person who believes so that they could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. They didn't know that He was going to send His Holy Spirit to dwell inside every believer to equip them and help them through this life. But we do. And my question this morning is, do we worship like they do when we have so much more information and we know how the ending goes? Or are they ahead of us? I'm not saying compare yourself to them or whatever, but I think that having all that we have this morning, we should respond in worship. What does the final scene in this story today teach us? Hearing about Christ is not the same as worshiping Christ. Wonder is not the final destination. Worship is. True encounters with Jesus always move us to glorify God. Worship is not just what we sing. It's not just during the time of song, which is wonderful. It's wonderful. I love it. That's not the only time we worship. That is a part of worship. Worship should be a continual response of gratitude, obedience, and praise for what God has done. The gift that God has given. The shepherds refused to overlook Christ, and they worshiped. And the question for us is simple. Will we stop at hearing the story, or will we respond with worship this morning? throughout the Bible, and especially in this encounter, when someone truly sees the Savior, the response is always worship. As I mentioned earlier, Christmas fills our calendars fast. Likely, y'all got somewhere to go today. And you're like, okay, yeah, right. You remember that? You have places to be, people to see, traditions to keep. And you know, those things are fun. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I enjoy them as well. But if we're not careful, we can celebrate Christmas fully and still overlook Christ personally. And that's what I want us to avoid today. I want us to celebrate Christmas, but also celebrate Christ and what He has done. That should be the centerpiece. Not the worry of, did I get all the gifts? Did I get enough gifts? Did I cook this well enough? Are we going to get there in time? See, that'll take the joy of Christmas from you. It'll rip it right out from under you like a rug. All those things. But this morning, I hope that we can, if for nothing else, but just the next few minutes, if we could just center in and forget about all those things. Forget about what store is going to be open on Christmas Eve. Forget about if we got this picture, if we got that. Let's forget about all those things that the world wants us to remember about Christmas. And let's focus in on what God wants us to remember about Christmas for just a few moments, if nothing else. And let's worship the gift of Jesus Christ, the true meaning of Christmas, that God has given us, that He sent and told shepherds about, that He has given His Son to save sinners that have no other way to be saved. Amen? And if this morning, if you've never done that, you've never accepted the free gift, and it is a free gift of salvation, what's a great time to get that? It'd be a great time for you to believe in Jesus Christ, start a relationship with Him, and begin to follow Him and have your sins forgiven and live the life that only can be lived through a relationship with Him. If you would, please stand. Jeffrey and the team can come up. However you need to respond, the altar's open. We're going to have one last song, and I just encourage you. Let's spend a few minutes just worshiping in spirit, worshiping truth this morning.